Amen. Good evening, brothers and sisters. All right, great to see everyone tonight. A week from tonight is our last service with you guys. So I really appreciate Steve and the elders allowing me to speak here tonight and be able to share a few things. You know, we've been the beneficiary of 17 years of friendship, of teaching, of advice, of love, of admonition, you know, taking care of our kids, of so many things from this church. We are so indebted to you. We're so grateful to you. You guys mean everything to us. Our marriage, our family would not be where it is today if it wasn't for you guys, and we're so grateful. Please know that. Also, not to mention all the help we've gotten with the move in the last few weeks. Thank you so much for all that. We couldn't do it without you guys. So I want to go ahead and get into the message tonight. So the title of tonight's message is Jio. Who knows what Jio means? Let's go. Nice. Mandarin speaker over there. Yeah, Jio could be translated. Go for it. Let's do it. Come on. Let's go. And that is going to be, that's one of the few words we know so far. We're working on it. All right. Before I get into the message, I'm going to make a, cheap plug. Can you see that? You sure cannot. Any chance you guys would turn the lights down just for a second? This is a shameless plug for our cat. The one detail we do not have figured out yet is a home for our cat. China has not invited our cat to come with us. So if you know someone who would love to have a sweet 8-year-old cat, let us know. Our cat's name is Meow Meow. So we're not the most creative family in the world, Meow Meow, but that is her name. Okay, you can turn the lights back on. Thanks, guys. Open up in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 14. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Of course, it's not just a story, it's an event. This is an actual occurrence. This is history that happened here. And so my first point is, do we have the spirit of Jonathan and his armor bearer? That's my first point. This story takes place at a time, it's kind of a dark time for God's people. The kingdom's not doing great. The leader, King Saul, because of his inactivity and his fearfulness and faithlessness, God's people are in retreat. Things are not looking good at the moment. Could I get a brother to read this slide for us? Real loud. Glenn? Amen. So things aren't going that great, but Jonathan knows God is our God. God is powerful. He has promises. So Jonathan says to his armor bearer, hey, how about this? How about we go up and attack the Philistine garrison? And his armor bearer is like, I'm right there with you all the way. Now, this time, the Israelites had been in hiding from the Philistines, their enemy. But this is what Jonathan and his armor bearer decide to do. Okay, another brother for us, please. Okay, Danny? All right, so completely unafraid and undeterred, Jonathan and his armor bearer say, let's go for it, and they go right up. Philistines taunt them a little bit. Oh yeah, there's those Hebrews crawling out of their holes where they're hiding. Yeah, come on up. We'll teach you a lesson. Jonathan's like, great. Thanks for saying that. We'll be right there. And they go on up. Last slide here. Another brother. Yes, Tim. Or, sorry, Francisco. Amen. Isn't this an awesome story? I mean, things were not going well. They were not looking good at all. But Jonathan and his armor bearer, with great faith in God and trust in God, say, hey, we're going after this. We're going to attack. And God brings about an amazing victory that completely changes the situation in this story here. Now, the practical side of us might say, wow, okay, I'm glad this worked out. Not sure how wise that was to go up and attack those guys. Not sure that was a very smart or safe thing to do. But Jonathan wasn't thinking about himself or about how safe or unsafe this was. He's looking to God to provide a great victory. It didn't matter to him that there were just two of them. Just two of them. But, you know, he just said, hey, perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving. And we have this incredible, huge victory by God here. And God is like that a lot of times. He's just waiting for his people to act in faith, to go out and attack the garrison, go out and bring the battle to Satan. And then he unleashes all his power and forces. We see unleashed here an earthquake. The ground starts, God's like, hey, amen. Ground starts shaking. And the Philistines start shaking in fear and melting away in fear and confusion. Don't you love Jonathan and his armor bearer's spirit here? One of my favorite stories for sure. Now, some challenging questions I want to ask right here. Does God mean for this story to have practical application in our lives? Duh, right? Of course. Yes. Yes, he does. Kind of rhetorical question there. So does this spirit of faith, courage, and adventure describe your Christian walk? I know most of my life, absolutely, for the mass majority, it does not. There are times where it has, but in general, it's not. Describe my Christian life. What are, in your life, the seemingly unconquerable Philistine outpost in your life? How about in your character? How about some of the deep-rooted things you've not been able to change? The selfishness, the impurity, the timidity, those kind of things. Or how about the things in your marriage? Well, you guys just cannot seem to break through and really be able to put the other person first, really be able to try to seek first to understand and then be understood, really be able to like pray together consistently, or really build up your spouse, those kind of things. What about with your kids and concerns you have for them and, concern about the direction they're going or whatever? Are we attacking those outposts? Are we attacking those things with diligent prayer, with fasting? You know, with our kids sometimes, it takes fasting. You know, God answers prayers, right? He does. But some things only come out with prayer and fasting. Are you willing to get radical, to attack the Philistine outpost, to see God do a great victory? You know, what about in the areas of the unconquerable areas of our job and people in our job? And maybe we shared our faith, and no one's open, nothing's happening. Or in our neighborhood, but nothing seemed to happen. Are we praying for God to just bring some incredible breakthroughs, incredible victories there? You know, the Philistines here were mocking Jonathan as armor bearer. They said, hey, look, let me go back one slide. Look, the Hebrews are crawling out of their holes where they were hiding. Come on, we'll teach you a lesson. Does that sound like Satan? Does Satan do that with us? Does Satan mock us? You know, you have this defeat in your life that you cannot change, or you have this thing. How do we handle that? Are we in retreat? Are we like, okay, God is with me. I'm going to go after this. Satan does the same thing to us. So the question we have to ask is, do we have the faith and courage of Jonathan and his armor bearer to believe the Lord will act in your behalf, or do we play it safe? It's so easy to play it safe. And here's the thing for me. There are times in college I become a disciple and on campus, and I'm radical. UC Berkeley, we're preaching on campus. We're doing all this stuff, and God is doing miracles. We had one semester, the fall of 1988, 50 people become disciples in one semester, 1 3-month period. It's amazing. God's doing great things. So there's times where I have this faith and this spirit, and then there's so many times where I have not had this faith or this spirit. Okay, I want to show a video clip right now, and it's not from a Christian movie. It's just from a movie in the world. However, it does have a powerful message. So just kind of clue in here, and we're going to ask for the lights to be turned down for a minute.
How do you...
Maybe a little more volume.
Don't worry about a thing. I feel my way through these mountains blindfolded all the time. Tell me, Tyler. What's in the Valley of the Blackstone? What is it, manganese? Can't be oil. Is it gold?
It's kind of hard to say.
You're a smart man, Tyler. Keep your own counsel. We're all of us prospectors up here, right, Tyler? Scratching for that one crack in the ground. We'll never have to scratch again. I'll let you in on a little secret, Tyler. The gold's not in the ground. The gold's not anywhere up here. The real gold is south of 60, sitting in living rooms, stuck facing the boob tube, bored to death. Bored to death, Tyler.
Amen. How do you beat boredom, Tyler? Adventure. We could maybe say, how do you beat lukewarmness? How do we beat mediocrity in our life? Adventure. Going after, attacking the spiritual outposts in our lives. Bored to death, he said. That so many of us are bored to death. Is it possible to have a spiritual midlife crisis? Is that a possible thing to happen? I've felt that in my life. And I think that happens. I think that sometimes we go through things, we go through hardships and difficulties, and we face pain, and we face disappointment, and we face defeat, and we have our own sin that we're dealing with, and it can knock us down. And it is hard to get back up. We might think, I don't want to get too radical. I don't want to get too serious. I'm just going to follow Jesus from a safe distance. You know, I think that that's kind of what has happened to me after going through hurts and pains and hardships. And there's so many stories I could share. I won't go into them all. With kids and with so many different things. You know, there's a man in the Bible who had the same thing happen. He had the spirit of Jonathan and his armor bearer. He's going after things, and he's radical. He's living for God with all of his heart. And then he has some major defeats. Well, look at that right here. This is Peter. Come on now. Nope. Did that. Okay, can I get a volunteer to read this, or brother? I'll set this up real quickly. You guys remember what's going on with Peter. Peter had just said, Jio, go for it. Jesus, I'm with you. I don't care if everyone else leaves you. I'm with you all the way. And then the next thing we know, get a brother to read this for us. All right, so here's a question. Is it safe to follow Jesus at a distance? Is that a safe thing to do? He wanted to see the outcome. You know what? We know the outcome. We know Jesus wins. We know God wins. We want to follow with all of our heart and not at a distance. You know, in the story of Peter, we know that he fails here, the rooster crows, and three times, and then he's just completely in the dumps. But Jesus comes to him, restores him, forgives him, and he gets back into the battle. And before we know it, he is in Acts 2, ushering in the kingdom in, you know, thousands of people for the beginning of the kingdom of God. And isn't that how we want to be? We take our hits in life. We take our hardships, but don't we want to get back and fully engage? How many of you remember the movie Top Gun? From the 1980s. Okay, so all my people, my age, my generation, raising your hands. You younger generation, man, you're missing a great movie. This is an incredible movie. It has some great spiritual principles as well. But the main character is Maverick, and he's this hotshot fighter pilot. And he, you know, he just goes for it. But then he has a terrible accident. A horrible tragedy occurs. And his co-pilot, his plane goes through a jet wash of another plane, and it spins his plane out of control, and they have to eject. And his co-pilot ejects but dies in the process, one of his best friend, dies in the process. And that shakes him up, and he's not the same from that point on. And he's just very cautious, and he's very, very careful. He can't seem to get back and really engage and be on the edge anymore. And at the end of the movie, it happens that there's a major incident going on. And a couple other of the top pilots are out there, and they get kind of ambushed by some MiG Soviet planes. And it's an intense situation. They don't have Maverick out there because he's kind of lost it. He's not on the edge. But then they lose one of those planes, and so they have to launch Maverick. And Maverick goes into the battle. And right after a minute or two in the battle, Maverick flies through the jet wash of another plane and starts losing control, the same thing that happened to him before. And he's spinning out of control, and then he gains control. And he says, it's no good, I'm going back. And they're like, what are you, you can't go back. Maverick, come on, save me. Engage, it's no good, he says. And he's just flying out of the battle. And then suddenly, he re-engages, he gets back in the battle, and he goes after it. And he takes down like two or three or four MiGs, saves his friends and all that. Isn't that how we want to be with our spiritual life? Don't we want to live on the edge? What if Maverick hadn't done that? His friends would have died. What if Peter hadn't done that? How about Jesus? I'm so thankful Jesus didn't play it safe in his life. Man, so many times Jesus could have said, up in heaven, I think I would just stay right here. Things are great right here, Father. This is cool right here. But no, he said, no, I'm going. And in life, you know, so many times he could have chosen a different route, especially we know in the Garden of Gethsemane. I do not want to do this. I could play it safe. Up on the cross, this is not feeling good. I'm going to call 10,000 angels. Each time, he chose to go for it. He chose to go for it. Let me ask you guys a question. Why did he do that? Why did he choose to go for it? Because he loves us. Absolutely. He loves us. And he wanted to obey his Father for sure as well. All right, I have a second point, and I'm almost done here. And that is, the first point was, do we have the spirit of Jonathan and his armor bearer? The second point is, are we imitating Jesus' love for others and the lost? You know, all around us, we have people, we're surrounded by people who don't know God, don't have the answers to life, don't have answers in their marriage, don't have answers for their kids, will not go to heaven. How do we feel about that? Do we think about that? Does that bother us? Does it weigh on our heart? Are we like Jesus in that way? Are we praying diligently for our coworkers and our neighbors? Are we opening our mouths? I appreciate so much Steve just recently in the last couple of weeks, just really calling us back to getting out and sharing our faith because I had not been doing it. I had not been opening my mouth. And it's been so refreshing to get back in there and have those talks. You know, I'm going to ask you guys to really be praying for us in China. China is four times the size of the United States in population, four times in people than in the United States. Untold millions dying untold. Most of them never hear about Jesus, have no clue who Jesus is. Most of them. The ratio of disciples to people in China is about one disciple per 1 million people. So please pray for us. Please pray for the work over there. By the way, there will be, my son is in town from China, and he will be doing a presentation on missions. If you're interested in Chinese missions, that's going to be at 6 o'clock at our house on this Saturday. But how about in Gwinnett? There's so many around us that are lost and needing what we have to offer. You know, I've been so inspired by so many of you. For example, Steve and Roxanne Galbraith, they've been going after their neighborhood. And they've been there since 2006, been there for a long time, but all of this stuff is starting to happen. They're having people come over, they're having people inviting them to their house, they're having studies with people. I mean, it's like, it's refreshing, it's exciting. I'm like, man, that is inspiring to me. In our own neighborhood, we're really encouraged because one of our neighbors became a disciple when we didn't even know it. This is a neighbor we'd shared with a long time ago, and this in our same subdivision, and we just found out last week that another disciple from North River reached out to them, and she's just become a disciple. But I think about also the Watsons from many years ago in our congregation, Ken and Kathy Watson. They left what was comfortable. They went to Auburn to help with a church there, help many people become Christians, help a young church there. Many become Christians. I think about Gary and Christy Roberson. Didn't play it safe. They're going for it. Jio, in their retirement years, going to lead a church in Hawaii. And we're so thankful to have the opportunity to visit them personally in just a few weeks there. So many others of you that are so inspirational to us, so encouraging to see Jonathan just become a Christian, Junie just become a Christian. And I wanted to share, honestly, I've been inspired by my own son. He's kind of helped me out of my spiritual middle-age crisis thing as well. And I want to show you a video clip on him real quick. There is something called the one-year challenge, and they produce a video every week. And so we get that, and then 1 week we're looking at it like, oh, wow, it's Daniel. It's actually featured him. So I'm going to show you that to you. It's just a real quick two-minute shot there. So lights, please.
Hey guys, welcome to this week of One Year Challenge. I'm Rocky.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Daniel.
I'm Rion.
Today we have my awesome bro, he's Daniel, and we will talk about his story. Hey Daniel, why did you want to go to another country?
Well, I just wanted to go somewhere where there was a great need, and I wanted to do something great for God and be used by Him. Mm.
Did you feel like you were spiritually strong and ready to go during that time?
Absolutely not. I was just messed up. Seriously, I was so sinful. I was inconsistent. I struggled with depression. I wasn't trained. Really, it just almost anyone else in my ministry would have been better prepared to go.
So did it get easier when you like went on the mission field?
Actually, it didn't at first, because when I first came here, I kind of expected it to be different, but I was still the same messed up, sinful guy. And actually, 6 months later, I was talked to, because I just wasn't adjusting well, and I wasn't helping the ministry, that maybe this isn't the place for me.
Wow.
And that scared me, and it hurt. But God produced repentance in me, and I realized that it was simple. To be used by God. The equation was just to spend time with Him, to let Him into my heart, and to really repent radically and just go to Him for power and not try to do anything on my own. Realize that actually that's how God always operates. Throughout the whole Bible, He uses weak people to do great things for Him. Because in our weakness, He shows His strength, that it's not about us.
Daniel is a very good example of how you don't need to be a spiritual superstar or super, super awesome or super qualified to go on a one-year challenge. In fact, I mean, his impact has been really great. We've been so grateful to have him. We're so blessed. God has worked really powerfully in him. He's been on one church planting, and he's actually going on another church planting in a few months. So you can't just get enough of it.
You can't get enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
So don't just watch this video.
Rocky, how does it go here?
I'm just kidding. Don't just watch this video. Go on to oneyearchallenge.org and register today. See you later.
See you next week.
See ya.
Take care.
Toodles. I just really wanted to go somewhere where God had
Oh, it got stuck. It was an outtake. It was a hilarious outtake, but oh well.
Great thing going on. Control. One more time.
All right. So what does it take to go after a Philistine outpost? You have to have a lot of talent. You have to have a lot of ability. Just faith. And it could be a mustard seed faith. It doesn't take that. It just takes a heart that's willing and knows that God will be with you. So what are the things that God is calling in your life, calling you to be radical about? What are the areas that God's calling you to go after that and change that in you or in your marriage? Or go after that for your kids or for the lost around you. Think about that. And what are you going to do about that? Are you going to be like Jonathan, his armor bearer, who go for it, Jio, and see God work in ways that are amazing in your life, or play it safe? Those are the things we have to look at. I want to finish with a poem here. It's a very familiar poem. It's one of my favorites, though. It's called The Impossible Dream. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to right the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or cause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know, if we only hold true to this glorious quest, that our heart will lie peaceful and calm when we're laid to our rest. And the world will be better for this, that one man scorned and covered with scars, one congregation of disciples, still strove with their last ounce of courage to fight the unbeatable foe, to reach the unreachable star. We love you guys dearly. We'll miss you. We'll be praying for you. And we'll see you in 1 year. Jio.